Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women that have experienced this intimately and want to support other women so they don't have to walk the path alone. We are not professionals, and the content of this show is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join a therapeutic group to help with your betrayal trauma, head to our website at healingwithworth.org to join one of our free online worth groups. Welcome to Healing with Worth. We're your hosts, Janine and Naomi, and we are here again with the amazing Amy. And we are continuing our discussion about dating after divorce. And we talked about several things on our last episode: signs that you're not ready, healing that needs to happen, and getting those questions out when you're trying to figure out who it is that you're dating. And so this week, we kind of want to dive into some other topics that come up around dating after divorce. And some of those that we'll talk about today, I hope, will be relevant to those of you out there who are pondering this and trying to determine when it's right for you and kind of navigate some of these choppy waters.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys, you're going to get sick of me and be like, we're never having her back. Busted. Okay. I'm tenacious. This is a funny story. Okay. We're going to kick this off with a funny story. When I was dating a guy, and this is actually something that he found a problem with me, that I was too tenacious. And I literally hung up the phone and I cried and cried. And I thought, what's wrong with me? And all of a sudden I was like, wait a second. I think I know what this means, but what does tenacious even mean? And I look it up and I saw determined. And I was like, wait a second.
You can't handle your power.
And I was like, yes, I am. Thank you very much. But yeah, that's me. So one of the things that I think is very helpful to discuss when we're talking about dating again for a lot of these women is motherhood and how you date. One of the things that I hear women say is that, you know, I'm just not going to date until after I'm done raising my children. And you can do whatever you want. I do want you to know that it's possible to date while you're raising children. It's going to take some creativity. This is where, so let me just throw something out here, ladies. And for a lot of you, you might be like, oh my gosh, too much. My heart's going to start pounding. But let me just throw this out. Because when you're going through divorce, one of the things that we're afraid of the most is losing our children, losing time. Now we don't have them 100% of the time. We've got to share time. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of women don't get divorced. And then when you are, you've got a ton of fear around that shared custody. And I get that there are so many different aspects to this, especially if you're dealing with someone who is abusive. So I want to give space to all the different circumstances. However, generally speaking, something to consider is that, and my sister actually told me this when I was going through it. And at first my brain didn't really compute. And now I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. So when you're getting divorced and you know that you're going to share time, ladies, when your kids are with their dad on his weekend, that can be your date night, right? Your kids aren't home. They don't know. And so the few times that my ex-husband did take those kids, that's when I would go on a date, because I didn't have to worry about pulling them into that aspect when I didn't think that their little brains were ready for that. I wasn't even quite sure I was ready for that. So I would suggest, while you're dipping your toe into this, you know, this new piece of your life, this new aspect of your life and journey, to keep them out of it. I think a lot of women think that they need to involve them, and I don't see any reason why that would be helpful to them. When you start dating someone seriously, at that point, you can start to slowly integrate them into that idea and help navigate. Again, remember, a lot of women will let their children determine and depict their dating life. And I want to encourage you women to still be an adult woman. You have children who are children. You are an adult. You get to feel, you get to live, you get to experience. And your kids can hate it. And that's okay. But what I see happen is that, well, if my kids are unhappy, now I have to stay unhappy and alone. And I just want to offer this idea that it's okay for your children to not love this idea that you're dating again. And if you can create space for their negative emotions around all of it, I promise you it's healthier for them. Don't let their emotions mean something about you and your life and your value and your motherhood. You're the only one that gets to decide that and think that. So that's one idea that I would offer right there. But definitely ease your children into this, because you need to ease yourself into this first.
Mm-hmm. I love that, because I think the kids are already experiencing turmoil, you know, at a divorce. And so before you get into something, allowing them more stability around getting used to the circumstances before you introduce guys at random to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, because look, you're going to be on an emotional roller coaster, and you don't want to take your kids on that ride.
Right.
So you want to have that emotional roller coaster, which is totally fine and acceptable. There's nothing wrong with that. But you want to do that with yourself and maybe a girlfriend and your therapist, but not your kids.
Right. Exactly.
So
I love that.
Yeah. Because likely the first time you started dating was when before you had even children. And so you did not have this aspect to navigate through.
Yep.
How do you filter out online dating sites? Like through online, and I think also through the online dating, because you aren't necessarily in person with someone. Is in your experience with online dating, is it easy for you to, like you talked about those, that like immediate feeling and trusting that? Do you get that with these online guys?
Yep. Oh yeah. In fact, I love, that's what I want these women to do, is when you go online, look at the picture, look at the eyes. I have a client right now. She said, I got online and I noticed that this guy didn't even take the time to fill out a profile and put information about himself in there. And if you don't have time to put information in there, you don't have time for me. Swipe. And I'm like, holla. Like, I love that right there. She's just trusting her gut, trusting your instinct, going with it, not questioning, just swipe, swipe, swipe. And that's what I mean by deny, deny, deny. Just like, yes, you absolutely get this sense. You can pick up the creepy guy in the room over internet dating. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that can show up like how they even, okay, for example, so I used Mutual. Well, I used a bunch of them, but Mutual is the only one that I would recommend. I would not recommend no LDS dating, no LDS planet or whatever those ones are. They're just, anyways, I won't use the term I actually used to describe those. Mutual is the one that I liked. And so how that works is kind of like a Mormon Tinder, right? But you swipe, and if they have swiped you, then it'll say match. And then you can start communicating back and forth with the person, right? So I swear, I'm laughing at myself already talking about this, because I'm married and this just still sounds so dumb. I can't believe I did this. Anywho. Okay. So you like swipe and match and da da da. But once you start communicating, and this is why, ladies, you've got to have your own value system around dating. And that's really important. So for me, my value system was, if I matched, I am not going to respond first. If that guy doesn't have, Janine said it for me. If that guy to text me first, then I'm not interested. And that was my value system. So I gave him 24 hours. If he doesn't respond, I unmatch and I move on. So I want to encourage you, ladies, before you do this, while you do this, just start getting curious about what you want. What experience do you want to have? And there is no right or wrong. So one woman can be like, oh no, I want to respond first. Great. Just what do you want that experience to look like and why? So for me, it was the opposite. And then it was, how did that text message look? If it started off with a, hey, good looking, you're done. Not happening. Next. Oh, hey, beautiful, your eyes. I'm like, next. you know, that for me was my like creepy guy indicator. I just had little things that made my stomach churn and I just honored it. Everyone's going to be different. And then it was the eternal texter, I called them. So I'd get a guy and they would text in 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7. And they just, that's all they want to do is text. And I'm like, I think I'm creating a new value system now. If you don't want to pick up the phone and call me after 3 days of texting, goodbye. Because that means you're either married or all you want to do is just text. And that's not, I'm not down with that. So women just need to join my dating group. They just need to join my dating group. But like, seriously, you just need to trust yourself. And you're the one that sets the standards. You are the one that decides what's okay and what's not okay. And ladies, when you, again, love yourself fiercely enough to know that you deserve to set your own expectation and boundary around what this looks like for you, not a, oh, I'm afraid I'm getting it wrong, I'm going to make a mad and mess up. Get rid of that crap, right?
Yeah.
There is no right or wrong here. Just what is okay for you and what isn't okay. And so this is what just mine particular, you know, okay, not okay was. So for me, then it went to, okay, on the phone. And then I wanted to FaceTime. I wanted to see his face. And then we needed to meet, you know. And so I had like a progression of how I thought this needed to go to be healthy, because I had experienced so many of the opposite in unhealthy of men who never wanted to FaceTime. Well, I wonder why, because that's not what your picture looks like. You know, right. Like what is going on? And I've had that happen. Oh my gosh. Here's the cool thing. So for me, my experience, personal experience was when I did see Scott, my husband now, the moment I saw his picture, I knew. Now I know this doesn't happen for everybody, but for me, because I really did trust myself and I was in a really good, healthy place for me than I had ever been. And all I had to do was look at his eyes and I could see goodness and purity. And he did everything on my list. His first message was respectful, kind, everything that it was just great. Third day, he said, can I call you? So it was like he just did everything for me that I felt comfortable with and that was healthy for me. And that felt safe and I could trust my body on that. And then, of course, it led me here. But yeah, so again, not like you need to have my experience. I want to encourage you all to have your own and trust your body.
I love that.
Something that's coming up for me is that, you know, we're taught to really be self-sufficient. We kind of have to get rid of this idea of someone taking care of us. But when you've got 6 kids, 5 kids, whatever, and they're in a young stage of life where they are demanding a lot of your attention, how do you work through that particular aspect when you're maybe not looking for it? I realize it should not be a reason to go into divorce or to go into dating after divorce, but there's got to be fears around someone helping you take care of your kids, because let's face it, it's really difficult to do that.
Yeah. They're only difficult if you think they are, right? That's just a thought. So the only reason that would be difficult is if you're having a thought that's creating that emotion. So for example, if you're worried about what he's going to think about your question, it's going to be uncomfortable and difficult. But if you don't give a crap what he thinks about your hard question, in fact, that's what I was looking for. I wanted to see how he reacted and responded to my hard questions. Oh gosh, yeah, everything.
Was that a previous pattern in your relationship then, when you would want to get to the truth of something and because you were being gaslit or abused and he wanted to cover up the truth, this was a way of being able to deflect answering the question?
Oh my gosh. Yes. If he's healthy. Right, right. It will not face him. It really won't. He will be open. He will be honest. The other thing I would suggest is asking the same questions over and over and over. I cannot tell you how many times I asked Scott the same questions over and over, because I'm like, first I wanted to see if he got annoyed and was like, why do you keep asking me this question? I've done it. I've already answered it. I'm not answering it again.
Done.
Yep. That, and for me, I wanted to know if he was comfortable enough and solid enough in his own skin that he was going to hold space for my triggers, my concerns, that my concerns were important enough to him that I needed to ask him the same question over and over, that was important for him. And that meant he would answer it over and over and over without guile, without judgment, and without shaming me. That was a massive sign of healthy, confident man brain. And so I asked him, in fact, we've been married 3 years and I still will ask him questions and I still get a response. The story matches up. He's more than willing to talk and share again. Never once has he said, "Really, we're doing this again, lady?" Not never. That's healthy.
I love that. That's encouraging. How about sharing your story with him? How do you go about that? Because that is also, I think, an important part. And do you wait for him to ask you about your story, or do you share it openly? How do you approach that? Because I think that's a part of who we are. And it's a level of intimacy, really, because it's a vulnerable thing to do. So how do you go about that? And
yeah, it is vulnerable. However, again, I think, so I was 4.5 years single. So by that point, I had owned my story. I wasn't in shame or self-judgment around my story. I had found beautiful in my story. I had found me again because of my story. So I wasn't hesitant to share it with him. I felt more, it's just going to sound weird, but I kind of felt excited to have that intimacy with him. Because granted, I wasn't going to share that really until I felt safe. So I had already established safety. And I was excited to have that emotional intimacy. Because that's what that is. It's an emotional intimacy. And I was anxious and excited to have him, to let him into that part of my world, knowing full well that a lot of the things that I was still dealing with at that point with my ex and still deal with, he might not like or want to have a part of his life. And I knew that, you know, intimacy is a risk, vulnerability is risky, and that I knew inviting him into that story and that part of my life meant he might be like, "Whoa, lady, I'm out." And that was okay. It would be sad and it would be hard and ooh, ouch, right? But I wasn't going to die, like my brain used to tell me. So
it would be telling as well.
Very telling as well. And again, I would never hold it over any man who didn't want to be with me because he didn't want to have to deal with what I was experiencing with my ex and the amount of debt that my ex dumped in my lap because of his embezzlement with this company. And so I think that would have been 100% understandable. Still would be hard if that happened, but understandable. So yeah, sharing my story, I was honest, I was vulnerable. He shared me, you know, his story, again, honest, vulnerable. He let me ask any question I wanted about his story. I felt comfortable as he answered them. He was not the victim in his story, nor was I in mine. And I think that's really important to notice also when you're sharing your stories. As the relationship progressed, it then became many conversations about my triggers and how those triggers would probably carry over into relationship. And so we had to discuss that and his as well and what that looked like and how he would handle those with each other. Triggers came after marriage that I didn't expect or realize. So that's something to be aware of. But again, when you've got someone who's healthy and knows how to hold space for that and isn't trying to fix it, it's really a completely different experience. It's really amazing.
Are you open to sharing what those triggers were for you?
Absolutely. I'm an open book. Okay. So one of the things that I did not realize would be such a trigger. I mean, I take that back. I knew that sex would be a trigger because of the sexual abuse, but I did not anticipate how healthy sex would be a trigger. I was worried that it would be unhealthy or that something unhealthy would happen and I would get triggered. I didn't expect experiencing healthy sexual intimacy would be a trigger because I had never experienced that. And that felt weird and that felt vulnerable. And I didn't know how to handle the emotions around that. That was an interesting thing to process. But the other thing I didn't anticipate to be triggering was living in the house that he lived in with her. He had offered to move because he thought maybe it would be. And this is one area that I can look back and go, ah, I kind of discounted my gut feeling there for the sake of I don't want to be difficult. So I was like, no, I don't want to make him go through the pain and the butt of moving. And that's just, I can just get over it. And I didn't realize how hard it would be to live in this house that I know she lived in. I kind of just told myself, no, I can coach myself through it. It's just a thought. Get over it, Amy. But it's something I have to coach myself quite a bit with. You know, we can. I just, well, there's lots of other factors that are going into it now that, you know, right now I have come to the place where I'm like, you know, it's okay. I'm acknowledging that the trigger's there. It doesn't stay as long. And I'm having compassion with myself when it shows up and then it goes and it's okay because I'm waiting for what I want. I'm waiting for the health I want. So I'm willing to put up with it because now I'm like, all right, I know what I want now. I didn't anticipate the trigger of her. She, you know, I know she'll never listen to this, but I have to give her props because there's so many stories out there of ex-wives who really try to make the life of the other new wife miserable. And she really has been fantastic. They co-parent beautifully. They communicate great. It's not perfect, but they do a really good job. They really do want it to be amicable. But so for me, I never knew or saw the women that my ex had an affair with. So there's always this missing puzzle piece in my brain. And I didn't realize that she would become that trigger because see, now I'm married to Scott. I'm in a relationship and she's the other woman that my brain just made her be. So to no fault of her own, my brain just made her the other woman in the relationship. And that was triggering. And so that took some time to work through. And I didn't expect to have such intense emotions just by seeing her, even though she was being great. She represented the other woman in my previous marriage that I never got to be mad at or hate or demise. So that was interesting that I didn't expect. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are, yeah, the sex one definitely, I could definitely connect and relate to that. And so that other woman is an interesting one as well that I wouldn't expect myself either on this side of it, but I guess there's a lot of things that come up that you really can't prepare for until they show up right in front of you. And
exactly.
Hopefully you've done the work to work through that and do mm-hmm. it in a healthy way. So,
and when you have healthy, it is workable. It's doable. It's safe to have those triggers and express them and hold space for each other. He has his own triggers too. He has just as many as I do. And we both need to learn and have had to learn to hold space for that. And kids, blending families, that's a trigger, you know, bringing new kids into the picture. And now you're the stepmom and the stepdad. And so there's lots of aspects to this that aren't easy. But what I want to, I guess, offer this hope is that when you do find someone healthy and you have a healthy relationship, this is going to sound weird, but it's like easy to handle these, quote, hard things. Based compared to what I was dealing with before with an unhealthy brain. I mean, there's so many times when I'm like, shouldn't that disagreement have been harder or angrier or messier? You know, like, you know, I'm like that seems like it was too easy. What's wrong?
Well, I would imagine there's just a mutual respect that you have for one another, which did not exist in the previous relationship.
Right. Right. It's beautiful. It really is. Amazing. It's just amazing.
You know, I think this has been really great. And I'm sure we could talk for days and days on all of the things that go along with dating and divorce and remarriage and all the difficulties. And I think in some ways, You know, we're all gonna face these things, you know, whether we stay married or we don't stay married. You know, these are all things that we're gonna face and we're gonna have to work through, and hopefully it can be done with two healthy brains, whatever the situation, you know, whether you stay married or whether you divorce. But
yeah,
I think this is a lot of really good information for our listeners, and I think that, or I hope that it is helpful for those who are kind of walking this line and kind of balancing these feelings and these emotions and these decisions, really, and trying to do the best with what they know. So hopefully this gives them a little bit more to kind of put in their preparation bucket and keep moving forward. So.
Yeah. I would offer just one more thought that just came to my mind, if you don't mind. I know that everyone has different situations out there, and maybe some of the things that were a trigger for me aren't or won't be a trigger for you. So I hope, if anything, you pull out the principles behind, you know, my own personal experiences. And what I would love women just to walk away with is this idea and practice believing that no matter what, you are 100% of worth and value, and you are lovable, and you absolutely deserve healthy. I hope that you don't have to solve for your children's negative emotions, and that God's got them. One of the most powerful things I did by inspiration when I became a single mom was tag God in. He became my partner and my second pair of eyes. And all the fears that I had with my kids in navigating single motherhood, working again, dating again, all of those really frightening things that I worried about how my kids would react and respond and turn out, because I had tagged God in, He would care for them. I knew that He would scoop them up. I knew that He would make their pain beautiful. I knew that He would make their past beautiful. I knew that He could heal their hearts. I knew that He could take the things that they were learning and how they had to grow up faster than most kids and use it for their benefit and their strength, and how He could now use them to help others. And I've seen that happen in my children's lives. I've seen how they have reached out to others who are struggling because they see it. They see different in children their own age because they've experienced it. So I want to just encourage you, ladies, that when you have the thoughts of your children that they're going to be broken or harmed or damaged or whatever, I want you to know that that will resonate. Your actions are going to follow suit with that thought. So I want to encourage you and invite you to think differently about your kids and how they're going to react and develop because of this. Believe that they will be stronger. Believe that they will be more compassionate, empathetic, beautiful people because of this in their life. And believe that God's got them, because He does.
Wow. That was beautiful. And I think well stated.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Yes, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, to enroll in a therapist-led support group or to check out our blog. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or wherever you may listen. Or simply tell a friend about the show. Be sure to tune in next week for a new episode, because you are worth it.